There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.
We're talking about second passports. We're talking about Brexit, which is almost upon us. And frankly, it hasn't gone so well to date. We've got very little idea of the final shape of Brexit. And that's caused some people to desert what they see as a sinking ship. People with mixed heritage discovering long lost routes that just happened to qualify them for a second passport. Business people buying second passports from countries of convenience. And those trying to qualify for overseas residents by other means. Joining us now to discuss the scope of the issue is Nadine Goldfoot, partner and solicitor at Fraggerman. Good morning to you. Thanks for coming in.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Do you have any numbers on this? I mean, how many British people have actually managed to get other passports?
We don't have any reliable data, but some data I have read estimates that the increase in percentage of British citizens who are now applying for second citizenship, primarily within the EU, is up by 158%.
What are the most common alternative passports that Brits are going for?
Well, I think it entirely depends on motivation and their circumstances. So what we're really seeing is British citizens who aren't necessarily looking to leave the UK anytime soon, but are wanting to protect against the uncertainty caused by Brexit, and very importantly, wanting to protect their right to freedom of movement post-Brexit, and therefore are looking at alternative European citizenships to have alongside their British citizenship. So the first approach would be, do they have any ancestral claims to European citizenship? Given the diaspora of European nationals in the UK, many will have a legitimate claim. Countries vary with the geographical proximity. Ireland is very popular in the UK, and that would require an individual to have a grandparent born in Ireland.
I mean, you've got a very nice Irish lilt yourself, slightly in the background there. So you've got a UK passport, but you're Irish as well.
I am Irish by descent. I have a grandfather who was born in Ireland.
Is this the what people are doing with when they're looking for second passports? Are they actually looking purely for a European passport? Or is it just something that's alternative to a British passport somewhere else? My nice West Indian island, for instance.
Again, I think it's about the motivation. So focusing specifically on British citizens, what we're seeing is the key motivation being maintaining freedom of movement post-Brexit, and therefore they are focusing on European citizenships. There are certainly other nationalities who are less concerned about freedom of movement, and are therefore looking for potentially European or other citizenship for other purposes, for example, security, freedom of movement.
Talk to me about retaining a British passport, but maybe getting an Irish one as well. I guess the Irish government isn't going to want to see its population swell from 4 million to 6 million because British people want to have an Irish passport and they've got heritage without those extra 2 million people paying some sort of tax. Are people who get a second passport going to have a double tax exposure?
I can't comment on the tax side. It's not my area of expertise, but generally speaking, citizenship and tax do not necessarily go hand in hand. Often somebody can be a citizen of a country, but not necessarily resident there, and therefore there may not be any tax implications for them.
We've got loads of questions coming in from people asking about so many diverse issues. I'm going to throw one at you now. We've had a question in from Amma, who wants to know the whys and wherefores of getting some kind of dual nationality or second passport. It's quite a specific question, but there's a general point underlying it. Have a listen to Amma, and then we'll get your response.
Currently, most of the people are going towards either immigration to Canada and Australia or by investment in the Caribbean islands. But all of these are either costing a lot of money or you have to reallocate to the other countries, the Canada or Australia, for example, and start again over from zero, scratch, till you reach the 4 or 5 years of eligibility for citizenship. But there are some other countries, it seems, nobody is speaking about, like the Paraguay, for example, or some other small countries which are accepting investment without reallocating there or moving over to there. So is there anything like that?
There's a lot in there to unpick. But broadly speaking, what advice can you give to Amma?
Hi, Amma. I think the issue is, although there's a lot of discussion around second citizenship in the world today, there's actually a very limited handful of countries that offer direct citizenship. Majority of countries will require initially a period of temporary residence and then permanent residence, or potentially even permanent residence, which may in due course qualify for citizenship, but it does generally require an extended period of physical residence. So the number of countries that offer direct citizenship is limited. You've mentioned the Caribbean. There are a couple of countries in Europe, including Malta and Cyprus. But in majority of cases, you are looking at committing an element of time to a particular jurisdiction and integration in order to qualify for citizenship.
In terms of the money involved, if you don't want to be a resident, if you want to carry on living and working here in Dubai, it's where you earn your living, where can you simply invest rather than reside? And what's the minimum amount of money you're looking at?
So in terms of countries that offer economic citizenship, which doesn't require any or minimal form of physical residence, although there are integration requirements, certainly in Europe, Malta and Cyprus are two potential options. In the case, and the actual investment thresholds vary. So in the case of Malta, it's a three-pronged investment. Initially, a 650,000 euro donation, 150,000 investment in government bonds, and there's a property element where you'd have to purchase or rent property with a value of 350,000 if you're purchasing, or less if you're renting.
So that's Cyprus, a million euros really, isn't it?
Roughly. And then Cyprus, you're looking at a minimum of 2 million euros. But even with Cyprus and Malta, there's a real drive from the EU and from the member states to encourage more integration along with the economic investment as well.
And of course, there is a limitation as well. You spend 2 million on a property in Cyprus and you have to keep it for 5 years before you can get out of that, and then you can keep the passport.
You certainly have to maintain the investment element for a period of 3 years, and then you'd have to maintain a physical residence in Cyprus for life, for the life of the passport.
And so you've got to visit every quarter or something in the first year or two, something like that. There is a maintenance.
With Cyprus, there isn't a specific maintenance provision, but it's certainly encouraged, given you have the residence, you have the property there that you are visiting on a regular basis.
What's the scope of this problem here? I mean, how many people are, in all seriousness, looking to get a second passport in the UK?
I don't think we have any reliable data other than the percentage of increase of British citizens who've applied. But generally speaking, I think people just want to protect against uncertainty and want to maintain the freedom of movement.
And I lived in Northern Ireland for 10 years. I'm entitled to an Irish passport, but lots of my friends, I'm noticing, have applied for Irish passports to the point that the post offices there no longer have forms. And there's some argument that in time, those people living in Northern Ireland will have more rights, perhaps, than British citizens, because they will have the Irish passport and they'll have a UK passport. It seems almost like a double bonus for some people.
Potentially. I mean, if you can maintain your British passport, you can continue to reside in the UK, plus you can have a European citizenship, so you have freedom of movement and the access to the UK. That's a great position to be in.
Finally, Nadeem, we've had a question in from Dr. Carty. It's a very specific question. See if you can help him on this one.
I want to know if any countries offer citizenship for doctors without any money involved. Thank you so much.
Citizenship for doctors, Nadine.
Hi, Dr. Khan. I'm not aware of any countries that have very specific provisions exclusively for doctors. It's generally around some form of investment or very significant contribution to the economy or society of a particular country.
There are countries that don't actually allow citizens to take a second passport.
That's correct. There are a number of countries that don't allow dual citizenship. So if you are considering an alternative passport, that's one of the key considerations. Is it a country that allows dual citizenship? And if not, are you willing to give up your existing citizenship?
Well, we really appreciate you joining us to talk about this issue of second passports, second nationalities. Nadine Goldfoot, partner and solicitor at Fragerman. Thank you so much for joining us and talking this through.
Thank you very much. It's been a pleasure.
There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.